You're listening to a sermon from New Harvest Church in Salem, Oregon. We believe that you were created for connection to Christ and a community of his followers. This sermon is an extension of our desire to become more like Christ by engaging God's word within our weekly gatherings. If you are in the area, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday. You can learn more about New Harvest and our ministries at newharvestch.org.
Supportive and humble.
Beautiful.
She is wonderful.
She is patient and hardworking.
She is pretty awesome and really cool.
She is a very loving mother who always puts her kids first.
She is fun.
Oh my gosh, she's amazing.
She is awesome when she plays with me.
She is so strong and so resilient to all of life's calamities and struggles.
Hope that's making my help.
She is great, pretty, and good.
She is sweet. She is kind. She's very patient. And she's amazing.
She is loving, caring, determined, and amazing.
She is strong, smart, hardworking, and independent.
You're beautiful.
Yes, Mommy, you're beautiful. We love you. You're the best mommy in the whole world.
She is one of a kind. Yeah.
She is strong and compassionate.
She is my life partner. I couldn't imagine going through life without her.
She's uncompromising in her faith. She loves fiercely. And she's dedicated to those around her beyond measure.
She is good at making babies.
And she's helpful and she loves me.
She is the right balance of tough and tender. She is my confidant. She is my counselor. She is my best friend.
Genesis 2:18 says, "It is not good for man to live alone. I will make a helper for him." And I thank God for her every day.
I hope you have a good Mother's Day and have a fun time.
I hope you have a good Mother's Day. Bye. I love you.
I love you, Mom.
Oh, good job.
Thank you, everyone, for those kind words for mothers. Welcome to the special day. Mother's Day is one of the biggest days, one of the most significant days. And why would that be? Because moms mean so much to us. So often, we'll talk about how supportive our moms are. They're helpful. They have a servant's heart. They're full of love. Most of the time, we always attribute that to moms. Thank you, moms. And guess what? Right now, live streaming is allowing my mom to be watching me. And so, hey, Mom, happy Mother's Day. I love you. Just wanted to give you a shout out. And all those relatives in my stomping grounds of Minnesota from this renegade from Oregon, welcome in. Glad you're here today. And I hope that the moms that are listening are feeling full of heart and blessed because this is your special day. And I also want to welcome people that have been tuning into us, and I haven't met you yet. And so thanks for being here. I've heard about you, and I'm glad you're here. And if you'd like to let us know that you're connecting, we have a way of linking up through email, new@newharvestch.org. If you want to let us know, that would be fantastic. We're glad that you're here. Well, today's message is inspired by moms. And I think of my own mom, I think of my wife, I think of so many other moms that I've observed, and they have a sense of priority and attention to relationships. That's what I've noticed. I've seen that time and again. In fact, I was thinking about my mom and how she would invest in friends. I would tell you, I think I'm not even exaggerating when I say that my mom had three times as many friends as my dad, for sure. And so this is kind of a consistent theme. And so I want to dedicate this or suggest that the message is inspired by that kind of heartbeat. Relationships matter. And I think this is a perfect day for us to reconnect or reevaluate our sense of relationship with people. I think of this kind of question. What do you miss the most right now? And I think that's a really good question because that could be tied to what you value the most. What you miss the most is what you value the most. And I hope that at least an aspect of what you miss is the sense of quality connection, that relationships with people, those that you need and want in your life, are not as close and not as available. And that's hard. I think that this is a time to kind of evaluate some of these things. I was thinking about this phrase. Maybe you've heard this phrase. Loving things, using people. Now, just saying that doesn't sound very good, right? Sort of distasteful to me. So that isn't what I want. And yet, I think we can kind of operate that way in our world, kind of a consumeristic world where things take precedence over people. No, today, I want it to be the opposite, of course. You've heard this. Loving, using things, loving people. That's the idea. That's the theme. I want that to be so. And I hope that you'll consider this, even as this is a time right now to evaluate and even recalibrate what's going on in our lives. So, question, how important are people, friends, relationships to you? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, you know, very high, and 1, you know, not really even much of a thought to, okay? Put yourself in that. Take a little second here and just decide in your mind, I think relationships are a 7 for me or a 3 for me. I would like to use this message to bump that up, move in the right direction. Now, this is something that moms use today that was common in my time as a kid. You know what it's called? Time out. Time out is still a tool that moms use when children misbehave. And so I want to say something about time out. I'm pretty familiar with time out as I look back at my life growing up. I had an aunt that said to me, man, you sure spend a lot of time in time out. And I would say something like, isn't my mom strict? But I would never admit that maybe it was had to do with my behavior. But time out could be the description of life right now. We're sort of in a timeout. And timeout is meant to kind of consider what has happened and how it could go better next time. How about that? The transition period we're in is a timeout, and we look at our lives, we examine our lives, and we say, what has been my emphasis and what could or should be my emphasis? I want that. That's what I'm suggesting. A season right now, this stay-at-home, COVID-19 is really a timeout from God, I think, and at least in part. And in that, I want us to think about this topic, attention to relationships. Relationships matter. How is that for you? And how might you do it differently now and into the future? Well, we're going to get into the Bible, as we always do. But to lead in, I have a story for you. A story that I think moms will enjoy, and maybe all of you. In 2018, there was something called Scripps Spelling Bee. And it's kind of an interesting competition. And it's interesting because really the way that this particular spelling bee concluded, you'll see what I mean. Well, I don't know how much you know about spelling bees, but it's pretty fascinating. I mean, these kids are incredible. They spell the words that I've never heard of. I couldn't spell them. I don't know the definition. Time and again, and for hours in this competition, just brilliant kids from ages 8 to 14 are spelling these mind-bending words. I was looking at a couple of them that I thought I could pronounce. We'll see how I do. Glossodynia. Glossodynia. I don't know if I'm even pronouncing that right. But you know what that is? That's a pain in the tongue. who would figure that? And these kids spell that. That's one of their easiest words. Or like this word, stolon. Stolon. Now, you might be able to spell that, but do you know what it is? It's something, a horizontal branch from the base of a plant that produces new plants that bud at its tip. Okay. Stolon. How about this? I pronounced it wrong. Tritruant. Tritruant. It means to grind or crush. I just gave you three very easy words that these kids would just have no problem. They'd smile if you give them these words. And so it is, I want to introduce you to Karthik Nemmani. There is. I can't even pronounce his name. He is an amazing young man. And he was the winner of the 2018 Spelling Bee. He competed against 515 contestants, sharpest kids in the country, and he rose to the top. Karthik, way to go. Well, I bring this up because the very last word that he spelled is a word that you might be able to spell. How about it? Do you know this word? Koinonia. Koinonia. I could have done that, honest. I didn't even look at my notes. It is a word that you maybe are familiar with because it's in the Bible. The Greek New Testament uses this word several times. So that's the word he used. You can see mom and dad there, very proud of their son. He won on June 1st, 2018, between Mother's Day and Father's Day. Pretty nice gift. They were very happy. He's very happy. And I brought it up because of koinonia. Koinonia is really our emphasis this morning. When I say relationships matter, I'm pointing to the word koinonia. Let's take a look. It's in the Bible. You ready? You got your Bibles ready? 1 John 1. 1 John 1. Now, if you have to run and get your Bible, we're going to put it on the screen for you as well. But this is a great launch, and you'll see the word jump out at you. Here we go. Verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we had heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Now, that's quite an introduction. It sounds very much like the Gospel of John when it's saying the word became flesh. The word of life is Jesus, the Messiah. And then it says the life appeared, the life of Jesus. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. How? Through Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ, verses 1 and 2. Now we're ready. You ready? Verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that, that's quite a statement in the Greek, moving towards purpose, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship, you know what that word fellowship? I should have told you, koinonia. Our koinonia with us, our koinonia with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. First paragraph, and the word that builds as we are introduced to Jesus is this marvel of fellowship, koinonia. And so, koinonia, so that we could be connected to each other, that our fellowship with each other goes right along with our fellowship with God, which is pretty amazing, really, when you think about it. An equivalent kind of statement right here, where we think that the best fellowship of all is fellowship with God because that leads us to eternal life. Yes, for sure. But right alongside it is this fellowship with each other. And in the, you know, the priorities and the emphasis of God, this is what he wants for us. Fellowship with him, obviously. Fellowship with each other. And he says in verse 4, and that will bring us joy. A complete joy. A fullness of joy. Connection with him and each other leads to joy. So that's the first paragraph. The connection with God and each other goes side by side. Now let's look at the next paragraph. You'll see something here again. Verse 5, chapter 1. Here it is. This is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have koinonia with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with Jesus. It doesn't say that, does it? Isn't that interesting? That is a very interesting kind of unforeseen thought here, that we have fellowship with one another. That's what it says. We have fellowship with one another. This is all meant to make it possible for us to connect with each other deeply. The blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin so we can walk in the light. And walking in the light means that we can have connection with each other, deep and real and rich. That's what we're emphasizing here. Koinonia literally means shared life. Shared life one to another. Like this, shared faith, for sure. Shared purpose, you bet. Even shared possessions. It's right there. Koinonia. It means sharing companionship. It's connected to partnership. And we're also talking about friendship. It's all there. This rich word, koinonia, I would define it this way. Divinely inspired. Said that wrong. Pretty important word. Divinely inspired friendship one to another because of Jesus. Divinely inspired friendship one to another because of Jesus. Koinonia is the real winner, and it propels us to, number one, place friendship high. Place friendship high. Why? Because God does. Koinonia is important to God. He made us for connection. And we really believe that around here at New Harvest. In fact, we've got a storyline that emphasizes koinonia. This is what we say. We were created for connection. And when we use the word connection, we're really using the word koinonia. We were created for connection. Connection to Christ and connection to a community of his followers. Now, this makes perfect sense because the Bible is filled with the importance of connection. In fact, in the New Testament alone, this phrase, one another, is used 56 times. You know, love one another, encourage one another, accept one another, and so on. Forgive one another, serve one another. It goes on and on. It's 56 times. And so it's pretty clear. I think it's really clear. But there was a time in history that it must not have been that clear because in this time in history, there was something called the Pillar Saints, godly people that wanted to avoid people. That's really the essence of it, because these Pillar Saints would go up on a high pole all by themselves, and the idea is that they were closer to God, and they would pray and meditate, and that made them like holier, I guess. And you can tell how I feel about it. And that painting you looked at, pretty funny looking. So there was this guy, Saint Simeon, and he lived on that pole for 37 years. And that's supposed to be a painting of him from the 5th century. And I don't think it's funny at all. In fact, I think it's wrong. I think it's missing it, totally missing it. And this is not what God had in mind. No way. And so I'm critical of it. And I use it as kind of like, who would do that? That is so contrary to God's word. But I was thinking about my own life. I was thinking about the first 34 years of my life, and I was thinking about how I sort of put myself on a pillar. In a way, I was doing God's work, and I was lacking emphasis in this crucial area. And I was really not that close to anyone except my wife, and she suggested to me that she didn't feel that close to me either then. And so I had to think about this. You know what I needed? I needed a time out. I had to have a time out. And guess what? God gave me one. I won't go into the detail, but he made it pretty clear that the way I was going was not working. And it wasn't his will or his desire. So I had to reevaluate. That's That's the theme here. Reevaluate. What's going on? Is this true in my life? Have I placed friendship high? Because God, this is what he cares about. Togetherness, community, loving one another. So that, as we read, you may have fellowship one to another. There's this guy named Alan Loy McGinnis, and he wrote a book that sold lots of copies, 5 million plus copies. It's called The Friendship Factor. And the first and number one factor that he put in his book, make friendship a top priority. There you go. First, place friendships high. How about this? Number two, choose friendships well or wisely. Now, when I think about this kind of emphasis, I begin to think about the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs mentions friendship quite often. In fact, dozens of times. I can show you one, for example. Look at this one. Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. That's the first one. And I liken that to what we read in 1 John about walking in darkness. And I liken that companion of fools is like walking in darkness. And what happens when we latch on with companionship to a lesser than the best? We walk in darkness. We continue. We affirm darkness. But God meant us to walk in the light. Look at this one. Proverbs 27:6. Wounds of a friend can be trusted. That's a good thing, right? But an enemy multiplies kisses. You see the comparison there. Another contrast about that. And I want to be a part of that light, points to light. And wise friends stir up wisdom in me. So, and you know this statement in the New Testament from 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good character. So what passes between friends, the way God designed it, are things like values and convictions and habits and goals. You see, we are being deeply affected by either the wisdom or the foolishness of our friends. That's one of the key statements I want to make. But I want to be a part of enhancing my life. And so how I choose friends and how I connect with them and how often I'm with them will make a huge difference in who I become and who you become. Honest, you know that to be true. If I want to develop a maturity with some wise judgment, I do well to choose friends who make wise decisions, right? If I want to strengthen my convictions, I should pick people who stand on what they believe, right? If I wish to be kinder, more compassionate, I should put myself under the influence of those who operate with gentleness and grace towards others. This will rub off on me if I'm close to people like that. If I want to walk closely to God and I want to have him as top priority, I need to be around others who are making their pursuit of God their top priority. You know, this is... Even Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. This is built into the way God made us. You will be influenced in your life more than any other way by those that you're close to. And so choose wisely. Look at another proverb about friends. Proverbs 18:24. One who has unreliable friends, or the English Standard Version says many companions, the idea of having a lot of acquaintances, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that's so attractive. The closer, the deeper connection with the right kind of people, the right kind of friends will what? Will make you stronger, will make me stronger. So, time out. I want you to evaluate your friendships. Have you let some friendships just kind of drift away? That really would benefit you and you them? Have you made some choices around friendships that need some adjustments? Ask God for wisdom. This is such a crucial topic. Finally, number three, pursue friendships now. Pursue friendships now. Now, I have an urgency about this, and you're saying it's sort of complicated right now, making connections, especially new connections. I know that, but don't give up. This is so much a part of really the way that God made us. So your efforts now will pay dividends soon. I believe soon. So dive into this. And why should you? Well, look at Proverbs again. Proverbs 27:9. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart. And then like a parallelism, like a similar statement, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. This joy of the heart, this counsel from friends, the advice of a genuine friend is so helpful. That's a gift. That's what we're talking about. And then how about this one? Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. That's special. You know it. So I want you to pursue friends, and I've got three ideas here. Three ideas that are going to, I think, be great and helpful. And they're simple, but they're not easy. Number one, initiate. That's the first thing. I want you to take the first step, honest. And I want you to pursue with courage. I know it won't always be reciprocated. I know that, but I want you to do it. And so you know the idea. If you want a friend, be a friend. You've heard that before. So do that first. I was remembering something 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I was sitting in a church service, my wife and I, and next to us was another young guy about our age, and we did the greeting like we do here. You greet and simple and quick. But then we hung around a little bit longer and visited for a while after the service. And then we had some things in common. So guess what? We decided to get together and visit a little bit around coffee and so on. And just have a little sense of connection. Well, that could have been it, right? But a year later, this particular friend was organizing recovery groups for young adults with me. We were side by side. And 2 years later, we were sharing our lives in groups and friends. I'm indebted to this guy. And despite moving to Oregon, after 4 years of knowing him, I was the best man at his wedding. And we have stayed in connection. Every month, we visit every month. And he's a special friend. And what if I hadn't taken that initiative? I was the one to ask him, do you want to get together? I want to get together. What if I hadn't done that? Well, it would have changed everything. So initiate. So crucial. I appreciate that friendship, as you can tell. Number two, honesty. Honesty, an openness, an authenticity about living life and being a person filled with grace. Honesty. Openness, so crucial. Look at this again, reminding you about the text. In verse 7, it says, we walk in the light. Walk in the light. You know what that means? Really, literally that means nothing concealed. You get it? Walking in the light, nothing concealed. And why is that true? Because the blood of Jesus purifies us from sins. We know that we've been, the grace of God, receiving the grace of God, gives us the freedom to be genuine, to be who we are, to have nothing to prove. But if we close ourselves off, we kind of like have that protective kind of layer, then we close ourselves off to others. And this will keep us from having these kind of relationships. We call it transparency, you know, where someone can look into your soul and you can look into theirs as you drop your guard, as you take your mask off, as you walk in the light of God's grace. Deep friendship is so possible, so available. And then finally, number three, serve. Serve, which is love in action, which is washing feet, which is giving of yourself. And I want to say serve alongside, absolutely. But I also want you to say serve them, even when they're not in a place to serve back. Serve them. Give yourself away to people that you're connecting with. It'll deepen that. And then let them serve you. Let your friends, uplift you. It's meant to be reciprocated. It's called koinonia, and it's so rich. And it's the word for our closeness with God can be the similar kind of closeness with each other. I'm calling us for a time out. I want us to think about this. I want you to reevaluate. Where did you put yourself on the scale of 1 to 10? Were you a 6? What would a 7 look like? What would an 8 look like? I think God has this sense of relationship and connection, these deep, kind of meaningful, supportive connections, very high. Higher than you have them, at least higher than I have them. And so let's bring them along. Let's move towards deep, genuine friendships, one to another. This is it. This is the life we've been given. This is not the pregame show here. This is the real thing. This is the one and only chance that we have in this adventure called life. And the sweetest way to do it is with others, close. That's the way it works. That's the best. That's the richest. If there's anything that we can realize about this time is that these things that we have counted on and found our satisfaction in are so fragile. They can be just taken right out of our grip. But people, come on, people are forever. And what we develop here in connection with people lasts forever. And so reprioritizing during this time, God has made a way for us to know him through his son, Jesus Christ, and it spills over into these deep connections with others. I believe, if you're really, I really believe that this is a picture of heaven on earth when we have these kind of connections. You remember the movie, It's a Wonderful Life? Remember this quote? Remember, no man, no person, remember, no person is a failure who has friends. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Thank you for what this message means to so many, Lord. The richness of life is found in connection with others. And it begins with connection with you. To be able to open our hearts, Lord, to someone else means to have safety and connection with you. To know our sins are forgiven and to be right with you by your grace through your son, Jesus. And Lord, I pray first of all, as those that are listening and those that are connecting right now with a sense of focus on you, that, Lord, they would realize that to have genuine friendships is to know you. That's when it spills out. That's how it's made possible. So, Lord, we begin with saying, God, we need you. Build into our lives as we can build into others. And Father, enhance our relationships, Lord. Thank you for the example of moms that have shown me so many times that friendship and loyalty and kindness and giving and serving others is the right path in life. It's the most meaningful one. Thank you for that. Now may we step on a similar path, Lord, as we strengthen our connections. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of koinonia. May it come alive in some new and rich ways in the lives of people that are listening. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. We have a time of response. It's really the way we do it Sunday after Sunday. We like to be able to take in what we've received and respond to God. This song of Building My Life really connects with what God can do in my life and then how I can then share it with others. So that's what I think of and that's what I have in mind as I sing this song with you. And if you're wondering about a relationship with Jesus Christ, really the Bible is so clear. Call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. And so that's what I invite you to, that don't be disconnected from God when you don't have to be. By faith in his son Jesus, life begins and then it's shared. Amen? Enjoy this song. Lift up praise to our great God. Thanks for being here today. God bless you. May your hearts be full, and may you sense the gifts of others in your life that have been friends and have cared. Deepen those. Pursue those. That's what God invites us to do. Koinonia, it's really the best. Fellowship with God and each other. God bless you. Have a great week.